we'll see indeed, and hopefully it is a really good game, because it's the best game of the week, so if it lets us down, could be another slow week. But one of the biggest stories this week in college football, of course, is the Big East reaching out to some of these teams. They're trying to get to 12 teams. Last week, we touched on the fact that they're dead. They apparently listened to Running the Option and said, we need to make some changes. If those two think we're in trouble, we need to get on the offensive here. So they went out, and as of the proposals that are being talked about right now, they are looking to invite Boise State and Air Force in as football-only schools, Houston, Southern Methodist, and UCF in as the total package. I don't want to spend this entire segment talking about the Big East and what it would mean for those teams, because as we've learned the hard way here on this show, when you spend a lot of time talking about potential realignment things, everything gets thrown for a loop the next week and your segment becomes irrelevant. So I don't want to do that. But Boise State's name really resonated with me in that group. Obviously, they're deserving to be a BCS team. But it really resonates with me because every year we have the Boise debate. And like you said in the first segment, we're not really having it this year because we don't have the opportunity to. There are too many undefeated teams that are ahead of them. But every year we have that Boise debate where does an undefeated Boise team belong in the national championship over a one-loss BCS team? And people say strength of schedule, but then how can you blame them? They win every game big. It's one of the great debates in college football every year, the BCS Buster debate. Yep. It was Boise State, it was TCU, it was Utah, and you look at these teams, I mean, they've had some huge wins in BCS bowl games, obviously not in the national championship, but TCU over Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl last year. You had Utah over Alabama in the Sugar Bowl to complete their undefeated season back in 08. You had, of course, the Boise State-Oklahoma game, the Fiesta Bowl back in 07, which kind of put all of this on the map. I mean, it really was, I don't want to say the birth of the BCS Buster, but it really put Boise State on the map.
Yep.
If Boise State gets invited into the Big East, is it the death of the BCS Buster? Do we move away from that era?
Well, the first thing that we can probably talk about is when the BCS was first created, it was supposed to fix the flaws of the system that existed before it. So before we had the BCS, we had the AP and the UPI, which were, they would vote on a national champion. So essentially you had the media responsible for compiling all this information and informed opinion together and then declaring a team a champion. So for example, you might have the number one team in the country that would play like the number 11 team in the country on a January 1st bowl game every year. And then you'd have like the number two team in the country play the number 14 team or something in another January 1st bowl game. Number one and two would both be undefeated. Let's say they both won. Then you eyeball tested those teams and you declared a national champion of some kind. So compared to that, the BCS was a blessing because
Absolutely.
You actually finally got to play number one versus number two instead of sending all the top teams into different bowl games and then voting on who looked better as your national champion.
And even if you want to argue number two should be number three or number, at least you're playing two really darn good
yeah,
teams
very good. Exactly.
to be a champion.
Right, and so what the BCS, though, probably didn't expect or count on is that a glorified junior college from Idaho would threaten the sanctity of the system that they created, and that's exactly what we've had. It's not just Boise State, because like you said, it started really with Utah in 2004 when Urban Meyer and Alex Smith had that team that went undefeated.
Great point.
And you had Boise State in 2006, like you said, and then it went on from there. But the thing is, the BCS Buster caught the BCS by surprise, because unlike the, you know, inevitably what it always gets into with this for so many years is when you talk about BCS Busters, you start comparing it to basketball, because people say Butler wasn't expected to do any of the things it did, but it made its name on actually getting an opportunity and then winning those games. Same with like a George Mason in the Final Four. Obviously, the same setup doesn't occur in college football, but you do have to ask yourself, do I think Houston with Case Keenum could beat Alabama in a one-game playoff? Of course not. But I didn't think Butler could do anything that it did either.
Yeah, that's what's supposed to be fun about
right.
sports, and that's kind of the main bullet point of this whole conversation for me, is Cinderella teams are part of the magic of sports, and no matter what pro sport, or obviously in college basketball,
right.
they come out every year, but even in the pros of any sport, you have the potential of an 8 seed
yeah.
in hockey or basketball, or a wild card team in baseball or football. getting hot at the right time and going all the way.
Yeah.
I mean, in years past, if you just think of it this way, if you took every pro sport and just at the end of the regular season took the two best teams and let them play in the championship, okay, that's fair. Those two teams were the best teams. We all love excellence,
right.
So there's nothing wrong with seeing two excellent teams play each other and crowning one a champion. But where's the magic?
Yeah.
And one of the greatest strengths of college football, how important the regular season is also one of its flaws in that it doesn't allow for the Cinderella team to come up out of nowhere. But the BCS busters kind of always gave us that chance that maybe they could get in there. Maybe this would be the year, if all hell broke loose, that it could happen. But if Boise State is in the BCS, if they get into the Big East, and then the other teams that we're talking about, Houston, Southern Methodist, UCF, I'd say those are three of the top teams that, you know, potentially in the next 5 to 10 years could become that level of a quote-unquote BCS buster. If we go to this 12-team super conference setup, you lose that forever.
Yeah, you do. And the thing is, you know, when a team like Utah in 2008 beats an Alabama, even though it wasn't treated like a national championship game for Alabama, it's still a Nick Saban Alabama team getting beat by, at that time, a BCS buster. Can we really shut our eyes and ears off to the possibilities of what that could have been and what that error could have meant? Because if it ends like we think it might, we're going to always look back and wonder, you know, what could have been in that era and what is the future going to hold? Because it seems to me like what we're starting to get into is the future of Cinderellas are going to have to come from within big conferences. Even going as far as to say, and I hate calling this a Cinderella story because I don't think they are, but we're now all of a sudden going to have to look at a Kansas State as our Cinderella story, because we're not going to have the opportunity to bring them from these lower division conferences. There, if you're a good program like Boise State or like UCF, which is a rising program, and you're getting swooped up now by big conferences, then the new Cinderella stories are going to have to come from within those big conferences. And I would ask the question to anyone, really, if Utah is in a couple of years going to start getting the big money from the big conference dollars, so to speak, can we consider them a surprise anymore? I mean, right now it would be a surprise if they would have gone undefeated, let's say, in the Pac-12 this year. But at what point do we officially crown them no longer a surprise BCS buster type of program, and we just call them a Cinderella team, or maybe not even a Cinderella team? All these programs are going to get swept up by these big conferences, get the big conference dollars, and then do they become our Cinderella stories in another kind of way, or where do we get them from?
Right, because you're right. A Kansas State team would be this system's version of a Cinderella team. You could argue that Auburn last year was somewhat of a Cinderella team, considering they came into the year, yes, they were ranked, but nobody really knew how incredible Cam Newton would be, and then they put together this remarkable season. The problem is Cinderella is all grown up before she actually wins the championship. I mean, if Kansas State ends up beating Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, all these teams, they're not a Cinderella anymore.
Right.
They're a full-blown force.
Exactly.
So you lose the Cinderella before you even get there.
Yeah.
I mean, just looking at the baseball playoffs right now, I know we're a college football show, but, you know, the St. Louis Cardinals shouldn't be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be in the playoffs, but in October, they got red hot. Atlanta completely falls apart. They barely get into the playoffs. They beat Philadelphia, who is the baseball equivalent of one of these Alabama LSU teams with that pitching staff. They beat Milwaukee. Now they're in the World Series. This is a fun story to follow.
Yeah.
This is sports.
This is sports. Why couldn't Andy Dalton's TCU team have beaten Cam Newton last year? You never know. It might have happened. They were hot as heck last year.
Right, because that's the thing. The BCS buster evolved away from Houston and Case Keenum. I love teams like that. I love the Conference USA. It's a lot of fun to watch.
Right.
But we agree, against a quote-unquote real team like Alabama or LSU, they're going to get stomped. Similar to what happened, you know, Colt Brennan is one of my all-time favorite players in college football. That Hawaii team was incredible. They beat Boise State. They ran the table. They looked great. They got crushed by Georgia.
Yeah.
But the BCS buster evolved away from that fun, silly, look at us go undefeated against our pals team, and became these TCUs and Boise States that are gritty and can go out there and on any given day can beat anyone. Okay, we both agree that Boise State doesn't belong in the national championship over a Stanford, over a Wisconsin, but if Boise State is on the field against Stanford this week, Are you really saying they don't have a chance? Of course not.
Of course not. And the thing is, not only do they have a chance, but I mean, Boise State has proven that it can win on the big scale. It can beat Adrian Peterson. It can go undefeated and beat another juggernaut like a TCU in a BCS game.
It can beat Oregon twice.
It can beat Oregon twice, including once in Autzen Stadium. I don't know how we can discount and discredit what we've seen out of some of these programs. And if they get swept up, it's just going to change the way we perceive them. But I really, what I look at with Boise State potentially being on the verge of joining a big conference is I just look at the last decade and I think of how many times I wish I could have gone back and watched them play for all the marbles on the greatest stage, because I'm not convinced that they wouldn't have had the same type of performances in those games.
I mean, this type of year obviously couldn't shape up better for a playoff, with how many of these teams are obviously deserving of a spot at the national title. And, well, okay, an undefeated Clemson, for example, isn't necessarily a Cinderella team. Mm-hmm. In that context, they would be. Yeah. I mean, if we set up a playoff of the top eight teams, and we put these eight undefeated teams in there, a Clemson or a Boise State, even undefeated, would definitely be a Cinderella against these Alabamas, LSUs, Oklahomas, and like you said, let us see it play out on the field.
Yeah.
Let's actually see it. Let's not just discredit them and say, oh, they wouldn't have had a chance, because they've proven they do have a chance against good teams.
Yeah, and again, it's why I will never hear the end of the Butler-George Mason argument from the other side of the college landscape, because if you're a college basketball fan, you're always going to point and kind of laugh a little bit at the lack of respect that we pay to the idea of college athletics, amateur athletics, and what they can produce and the kind of results. It is an upset-driven sport, just like college basketball, but we just haven't gotten a chance to see that play out on the grand scale. Maybe as the landscape changes in college football, we will see it, but it'll be a different type of setting from now on.
You know, to quote Herb Brooks, right, from, you know, USA beating Russia in 1980, miracle fame, he said, it's funny that they call those all-star team dream teams because they don't give you a chance to dream. I mean, those are a bunch of college kids.
Yeah.
And that's the ironic thing here. In college, it should be about the magic, about the Cinderella. That's why college basketball is so fascinating. I don't like basketball.
Right.
I won't do a college basketball podcast. Full disclosure, that's not going to happen. But I care come bracket time.
Right.
I care come March, because you can get behind these teams, and on any given day, even with huge talent discrepancies, assuming you're not a 16 seed,
right,
you have a shot.
Yeah.
And it's just a shame to me that this era is coming to an end and we didn't get to see it once.
It's true. And, you know, there are those kind of remnants, so to speak. When you talk about the Hawaiis or even the Fresno States, some of the faces from the past of this era, even a team like BYU, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, where do those teams fit into what's left of the old scale and the old scene of BCS busters.
Then, of course, this week also was talked about briefly that the Mountain West and Conference USA were going to combine football only into like a 22-team mega conference.
Yeah.
Now, we don't know how many of those teams are going to end up leaving for the Big East, or if they aren't. Like I said, we can't get into that too much because,
right,
we have no frigging clue. But it seems to me that that's going to be the direction of college football, that instead of rewarding programs like Boise State, TCU, and having these conversations and getting them a ton of publicity, I feel like you're just going to have two different leagues in college football.
Yeah.
You're going to have the BCS Big Boys League, and then you're going to have, oh, cute, this 22-team conference, and then you're going to have the WAC, and you're going to have these leftovers. And I feel like you're going to start to see the talent discrepancy get even further apart.
Yeah.
It's already pretty far apart, but I think you're going to see it get even further apart, and that's a shame, because these teams are fun to root for. I mean, these teams are the teams that got me into college football.
Yeah.
If not for the Hawaii Warriors and the Tulsa Golden Hurricanes and whatnot of around 2005, 2006, I wouldn't be a college football fan today. So where is that in the new landscape?
And it changes weekly, and there's just no way to know. Like you said, we could have a format now where we're almost inventing a new scale of Division I and Division II football, with Division I being the BCS, and all the other schools are kind of grouped into this new, you know, made-up Division II, where it's just a lesser league. And, you know, it changes every week, but it would be sad, because so many of those programs have done a lot of great things over the last decade.
All we want is let that Division II winner, come play our big guy. Just once, let's just see it on the field. I just want to see it.
I think the results would surprise people more than they'd think. So.
Some years more than others, right. I'm sure. But